Good morning. You know, this is going to be a little bit stream of consciousness today because I don't really have any notes about the news because the news is pretty much crap. I mean, we might talk about the news, I don't know. There's this Zero Hedge, you know, tweet. Trump is going to adopt Elon Musk's proposal for a government efficiency commission. What the fuck is that? Government, you've got efficiency. Government, you've got deficiency. Government, you will make things better, like the Mad Hatter building homes out of foam. What the fuck is a government efficiency commission? I mean, I'm trying to imagine it. It seems really fucking sad. Off in the distance is somebody playing some type of fucking poignant music. It's like a kid in Scotland, and their horse gets stuck in a bog, and the child has to spend their day there, watching their horse slowly sink, because Scottish parents, they really, really think that's how you grow up in Scotland. Won't you help me save poor Star Rider? Oh, my Scottish son, it's not very much fun, but you have to watch it become quite undone, you know. The horse has to go. It'll be worse at the end, 'cause the horsey was your friend. Horsey is gone. The horsey sinks below. It's the end of the show. And it's terrible. You know, this place I lived at the last year, there's this pond, and it doesn't really stay full of water year round, but it does have some water in it, you know, during the winter. So it's a nice, watery, boggy kind of pond. And I was going to propose to the property owner, who's doing the whole hip camping thing, you know, glamping. I was going to propose this weird idea for that tent area. And they could call it the meaning of life. And you build this, you know, fiberglass painted artificial animatronic kind of hobo hillbilly horse on a cable. And it shambles out of the woods once a day and gets stuck in the bog. And then the kids can watch it slowly sink into the bog. And then late at night, it arises from the bog like a ghost and goes back to the woods to reset for the next day. It's every day. You get to see poor Star Rider sinking slowly into the bog. And that is terrible. And if you're a horse person and you're hating on me, keep in mind, I don't want any horses harmed. In fact, that's why I propose the fiberglass thing. And then in reality, you're just going to be teaching kids lessons like stay away from the bog. You know, if a Scottish gentleman says stay off the moors when you're in Scotland or England or wherever people do things like they're English. If they say stay away from the moors, you stay away from the moors. If they say stay away from the whores, you stay away from the whores. If you get really bored by what's going on, think about a government efficiency commission. What the fuck is that? It's a sad, sad, poignant horse. stuck in a terrible bog, sinking slowly and slowly. Is a government efficiency commission, anyways. So I'm living in a new place, and so far so good. Not really a person who expects a lot these days as far as reality. I don't know what to tell you. You could say my expectations are low, but I think they're still too high. You know, I really do. I mean, I sometimes use this analogy with respect to people's paradigms, where they're at philosophically. You know, some people are flying at 200,000 feet. I mean, that's higher than a Red Bull guy. Yeah, some people are way up there. And some people are, you know, a few hundred feet off the ground. But the reality is, in terms of your outcomes, the difference between 200,000 feet and 200 feet is no big difference. It's the same effect when you hit the ground, you know? That's the simple truth. That's a harsh truth, right? Singing a song. You're high off a bong. You're flying a glider, a paraglider, someplace out in the dark, someplace near Nova Park, right? It was the Nova Music Festival on October the 7th, 2023. Those monstrous sky monsters came out of the shadows and flew down on their paragliders, armed with 105 millimeter howitzers. Don't ask me how it works. It's probably aliens. Probably aliens, if you ask me. I don't know. I think it's going to be okay. But then I'm telling myself that because it seems like the thing you're supposed to say. Like, hey, it's all fine. Everything's okay. You can scrub with scream. You can scrub with scream. You can scrub with scream every day. You can scrub with it. You can wash out your hole. You can make your world from something strange. You can scrub with scream. You can scrub with scream. You can scrub every day with Scream. On sale at Jumbles for 45-55 dead hippo. Yeah, you can scrub the screen. You can have your blame as the misty sky says you're gonna die. Watch that firebird fly from the ashes. Watch that phoenix travel to Albuquerque. You can scrub with scream. You can yell and scream. You can pull out a gun. Have a lot of fun. But like I said, you know, just be careful. Because we don't live in Eden. And if you're an atheist, you should know that. If you're a Christian, you should know that. You know, we don't live in Eden. This is the FAFO. Fuck around, find out, you know? That's this place, the land of consequences. You know? Stuff happens. You walk on down the street and you say to yourself, oh, I'm just going to take a walk to Safeway. I heard they have crab on sale. There's this woman that works at the table. She's kind of nice. I'll go to Safeway and go down and get some crab, a crab dinner. Maybe I'll smother on schmizzle sauce and make everybody happy. And she's there and you say, hey, what's up, Midge? And all of a sudden things get greasy. Because Midge gives you a look and says, what's your birthday, Mr. Man? And you tell him. And it, oh, you're an Aries. And yeah, I'm a hairy Aries. I'm from another world. I was sent here as a child. I was sent here millions of miles. I traveled in a rock because, you know, blank blank. I traveled in a rock. Oh yeah, whatever. I had a comet friend. We went down a black hole. We went nearby a pulsar. And that was kind of cool. You know, what do you think, Midge? And she gives you a look and says, you want the crab? And I don't know, Midge. The crab looks rotten. It's kind of brown. It doesn't look happy. It's just sitting there. It's kind of smelly. I don't want the crab. I want the crab to be free. Can't we bring the crab back to the sea? Just you and Midge, you and me. We'll go back with the crab to the sea. We'll bring a beach blanket. The moon will be high in that crazy sky. Just you and me, Midge. And she says yes. Well, that's great, Midge. Pack it up. And then she says, okay. Thanks, Midge. We'll go down to the beach. But none of this turns out as you would expect. And that's the key point in everything. You know, you think you understand the situation. You're just going for a walk, Dan. Just taking some random walk. You go to Safeway. Maybe you stop at the bowling alley. Because, you know, Robert D. Flecton is there this week. Robert D. Flecton, hero of the bowling alley, world famous, the Flecton technique. You will always get a strike if you use his technique. Yeah. At least that's what Robert D. Flecton will tell you. But it's also true that Robert D. Flecton, first of the Flectonites, last of the Flecton Lords, is here to observe us. He's watching our behaviors, taking notes. He'll report back soon to Central Command. He'll pick up his radio microphone. He'll pick up his headset. And he'll start talking and saying, "Central Command, baby. This is Robert D. Flecton. The human gumptus is out of control." The human gumptus carries a terrible spit. They want to go hit. Their fingernails are crusted. This is Robert D. Flecton from, you know, here on the edge of nowhere, somewhere between Squim and Port Angeles. Somewhere between yesterday, today, and the day after that. You sent me here to observe the human soil, a terrible toil. These monstrous freaks, they wander the deserts of their own pain swamps. Right? That doesn't work, Dan. I know. Yeah, somewhere out there, there's a Robert D. Flecton. Maybe he's at the bowling alley. Maybe he's a barber. Maybe he flips burgers. All you know is that, you know, you just don't know. And he's observing and he's reporting back. And Central Command at some point is going to make a decision. Do we invade? And you say, "Well, Dan, who are you talking about?" And listen, you don't need to know. Robert D. Flecton knows. He's reporting back. He's letting Central Command know that we cannot grow. We refuse to grow. That's right, Robert D. Flecton. He lives next door. He has a dog named Cliff. It's a Frenchie. Robert D. Flecton has a telescope, but it's never pointed up. That's kind of weird. Robert D. Flecton, he comes from Toledo. Does that sound like a real place? Does that sound like outer space? It does, doesn't it? And everybody knows a Robert D. Flecton. You know a Robert D. Flecton. I know a Robert D. Flecton. I have met in person. If you know, you know. If you've listened to my podcast, you can read between the lines. But I've actually met incarnations of Robert D. Flectons. And you could say, "Well, Dan, they're feds. Dan, they're corporate analysts. Dan, they're grifters." And I'd say all the above. And it doesn't matter. They could be alien observers. I think they're here to figure out how much of a mess we are. Because you have to understand, when it comes to the Robert D. Flectons of the world, they don't want to put forth more effort than they have to. And if it turns out we're giant dumbasses, they might not even want to come here. "But Dan, they come here." What resources can't they get from the asteroid belt? From the Oort cloud? I mean, if you understand the crap they tell you, They don't need to come here for our natural resources. They have hyper technology. They can zap and get whatever crap they want from the universe. They don't need the resources. And if we're giant pieces of crap, they don't need us. And you can come back and say, well, Dan, they just blow us up then, or eat us, maybe. I mean, eating us, I think that's going to give them cancer. No. I think they just move along, you know. They don't really care. Robert D. Flecton is saying, listen, these people are miserable, parasite-ridden freaks. They worship somebody called the Liver King. They are covered in boils and scrumptious. Their insides are melting outside. The air is unfit to breathe. The water is unfit to drink. And we turn on the news and they tell us 25 homicides and 35 suicides, and we think there's nothing we can do about it. And the price of oil. And okay, stop, Howard Beale. The point is, Robert D. Flecton is a Howard Beale reporting to outer space about all the homicides and dramacides and gromicides. Too many sides, right? Not enough love. But Robert D. Flecton lives alone, too. It's kind of sad. He lives alone. He goes home at night. He lives alone. He just eats chili out of a can. He eats whatever, you know, crackers. He probably drinks whiskey. His breakfast is beef jerky. That's the life of Robert D. Flecton. It's not a good life, you know? Not a great life. I don't think anybody wants to live like Robert D. Flecton, but I don't know. Because when the autumn comes and he knows what's going on. When the autumn and the fall sets in and Robert D. Flecton is in his rocking chair out back with his Frenchie, probably smoking some type of cigarette. I don't know what to say about the Robert D. Flectons of the world. Yeah, I've talked about life in the anarchist world, which is, you know, its own kind of ironic statement. like a government efficiency commission. Life in the anarchist world on the Death Star is not easy to navigate, especially if you want to keep your principles. And I can tell you, I'm not doing a great job. I mean, I'm able to firewall my life to an extent, but I've simply been making the choices to try to just, you know, like I've said, you know, not drown. And if you don't want to drown, it's hard not to get dirty. And then you add to the fact that there are, you know, how can I put this? If you're voting, I don't care, Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, it doesn't matter. You're doing exactly what the system wants you to do. If you want to say, that's crazy, my vote counts, how do you know? I mean, I've said this and I'll say it again because it makes logical sense. Anonymous voting is retarded. It's dumb. It guarantees somebody's going to steal an election because you have no way of proving one way or the other who won. You don't have a means of auditing. You know, in the very least, you'd hope to have some type of private public key relationship that allows a person to audit and check their own vote. But at the end of the day, if you sever the tie between A and B, what you end up with is giant question mark, you have three card Monty. Not that I think voting's good, not that I think democracy works, but anonymous voting guarantees that somebody's going to rip you off. And also, when you think about what voting is, what it really results in, it is kind of like deciding to delegate force to somebody else, and potentially the person who's going to get targeted is your neighbor. And so one of the questions I would have is, why wouldn't you want to just be responsible? And then finally, and this is it, it's like, well, people shouldn't have a right to know who I vote. They might try to bribe me. That's already happening, all of it. People are being bribed in the fakery of it. And yeah, everyone figures out who you're going to vote for. You spend all day talking about who you're going to vote for. Do you really think the threat to your anonymity is the idea that maybe you should be able to audit the election? Fuck. You know. But like I said, I don't really care. The system doesn't care if you vote. It doesn't care if you support Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. It doesn't care. It's when you choose strategies that don't exist within that framework where you get into trouble. And so if you're going to ask yourself, where do they put most of their freaks? You know, the Fed freaks, the... Where do they put most of their feds and their confidential informants and their Robert D. Flectons? Where do they put these people? And the fact is, a lot of them are in the anarchist movement, pretending to be something they're not, and feeding people a lot of crap. And I don't know that it matters. It's kind of like I said earlier, you know, some people are flying at a couple hundred thousand feet. The fact that I even mentioned this says I'm still flying at 100 feet. I can easily break my neck and die. This is nonsense. This doesn't even matter. You know, you can believe in the reset and hyperstatism. Where it goes from here is going to be so insane that you will definitely need free energy. I mean, the government will, to make that bouncy castle function. So if you want to believe in that, fine. And you can believe the system's in collapse, but it's going to take a couple hundred years because, hey, somehow that's how reality functions. That's fine. You can think it's in collapse and that it's slow until it's not, and that at some point things get really non-linear and then it gets freaky. That's kind of what I think. And it could be worse, and I think that too. And it also doesn't matter because there's no way to know. I also think it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world, you know? Throughout human history, there have been periods, maybe, because again, I think it's legit to question what we've been taught. spent so many years in school studying quote unquote, air quote, on podcast. So many quote unquote histories and historians. And I think back to that and I wonder, did I really just waste my time on a very, very deep form of mindfuckery? And I could have. Like, that could be the college and the graduate student experience. What you're really doing is indoctrination. It's not education. You're being indoctrinated. You're being fed a lie so that you can go around the world on TV, in a classroom, or at, you know, a business meeting, and you can spread the lie. You know? So who knows? I know that wasting time on the question of how many Robert D. Flectons are there? Listen, towards the end of the Soviet Union, in East Germany, there were a shit ton of Robert D. Flectons, you know? And they lived next door, and they got paid money, and some of these Robert D. Flectons were just ordinary, everyday Robert D. Flectons. You probably call them Bob. And others were part of the secret police, you know? Some were informants, some of them were actual cops, and you say to yourself, well, gee, Dan, you know, where are we at? Well, keep in mind, they, in the 1980s in East Germany, were not in the year 1933. So you need to take that thought out of your frickin' head. If you wanted a corollary to where we're at, and the only metaphor you allow yourself is World War II, imagine Berlin, April 1945. Yeah, imagine that. Right around the time that Hitler, you know, is gosh. What did he tell him to do? Ugh. No, Hitler was telling his leadership to sort of wire Germany to explode. It's kind of crazy. Albert Speer. I think Albert Speer was supposed to be in charge of wiring. You have to imagine it like a really fucked up cartoon. It's like Hitler says, Bremen, Hamburg, Berlin, wire them to explode. Oh, that little town. I went there with Eva Braun, wire it to explode. Yeah. That was about the time that Hitler was telling Speer and others to wire Germany to explode. And again, this could be an apocryphal story that these Nazis made up to avoid being hung. Understand, this is one of those stories that's hard to confirm. I do believe Speer used this as one of the arguments as to why, you know, he wasn't such a bad Nazi during the Nuremberg trials. He still went to, you know, to prison, I think, for about, like, didn't he title his book My 10 Years or something? I don't know. The point is, Albert Speer did not wire Germany to explode. But let's be clear on this. If it had been feasible to wire Germany to explode, Albert Speer would have done it. That's the key point, too. This is not Germany 1933, you know. Lots of Native American ghosts would rise up from their graves, mass graves, some we know about, probably 10 times more we don't. And they'd tell you, listen, buddy, this is not Germany 1933. You're tone deaf to history. Dan, you can't blame us for what happened to it. I'm not going to blame you or myself for what happened to indigenous peoples. But I will blame government for it. I will say that. And if you're one of these boosters of voting and how voting results only in good things, then reservations and, the Trail of Tears and a whole bunch of other events like Wounded Knee, these things are on your plate. You own them if you think the system works, especially after the Civil War. You think it all works so great. A lot of the tragedies, the really horrific tragedies not all of them, but a lot of them happened after the Civil War. So yeah, I don't know what to tell you. You know, you own it. You own it. You don't like me talking about it, you own it. But you know what you need to know is it's not Germany 1933. If only you can live with the World War II comparisons, it's not. It's Berlin, April 1945. The game is almost over. They're painting logs black. We're in the fourth quarter. They're painting logs black. Look at those pretty logs glistening like black hogs on the edge of the rampart. They look like howitzers. Yeah, they're Quaker guns. They're Quaker guns, you know? Anywho, I'm going to try to do a better job with the podcasting because this is a better space for it. I'm going to try to avoid any calamities, but it seems like that's hard for a lot of us these days. I'll try to be grateful for the fact that I can cook eggs and bacon and I have a shower I can take that's not a public shower. These are good things to be grateful for. I have a room with a door on it. Sure, it has one of these Orwellian doorknobs that you have to have a smartphone to use. And if you tell people you don't have a smartphone, they give you that look like, you know, in what Jean-Claude Truffaut's version of the story by Ray Bradbury, Fahrenheit 451, you know, where Julie Christie is talking to the old lady and it says, look at these, or maybe it's maybe it's the cop, not the cop, but the fireman. But the old lady says, look at all these houses. That house doesn't have a TV antenna, you know. That's a weird house. Yeah, so I get weird looks when I say things like I have a flip phone. It's like, Dan, I can't believe you have a flip phone. You must be like Flipper. Do you want to go Flipper, Flipper? No. So these are strange days. I need to check something here really quick because, you know, it's crazy and everything's kind of insane crazy. We're all going crazy, you know. When the leaves fall, fall. It's time to... Yeah, I don't know. I got a lot of work to do. But I don't have a lot of time. We have work to do. We don't have time. Maybe time doesn't even exist. I don't know. I know that the food is expensive for everybody. And it's hard to imagine at times how any of this gets resolved. If you want to think in terms of the voting, you could say, well, if Kamala Harris wins, she's going to fix everything. And it's like, I think about the presidency of Biden, and it seems like Kamala had plenty of time to fix everything. And with respect to Donald Trump, you know, he's a liar. He might tell you lies you want to believe, and the lies might sound really great, but the outcomes are going to be kind of terrible. 2020 was terrible. A big portion of that ownership, maybe a lot of it, if you think the president is a real thing, goes to him. On the other hand, maybe this president thing isn't a real thing. Maybe it's more like an acting job. Like the fakers I saw on 12th Avenue during the summer of 2020. And if it's an acting job, then again I ask, why are you worrying about the voting? The voting ain't gonna change nothing. Food, water, shelter, security, which also means community. Try to build yourself and your family and your situation, try to build it in such a way that you can survive a storm in that literal and figurative sense, you know? Because a storm's coming. And it might be the kind of storm that happens once every 1,000 years. And if we're lucky, that's the storm. And it's still going to be rough and tumble and crazy. But on the other side, you know, there's some type of renaissance, right? And it could be the kind of storm that happens once every 10,000 years. And this is where, you know, in the future, when the dog people, specifically the dog archaeologists of Bow Wow Wow University, you know, 50,000 years or, excuse me, 10,000 years or 20,000 years in the future, yeah, whatever. They examine our technology and our piles of poop. Yeah. They come up with a paragraph. Like a paragraph about us. They don't have enough information, but to have a paragraph. And it mostly involves who they call the people of the landfills. Like they have these fills. And they don't call us landfill people because they assume we just dump garbage because we're lazy and nasty. No, because they see that the land is full of garbage. So they call us the landfill people. And they're thankful because they do have lots of garbage to look at. But, you know, listen, very little of what humans create will last 10,000 years, very little. It's like this Amazon Jeff Bezos clock project to have a clock that keeps ticking. And I hate to break it to people, like break your hearts, but if it's still working in a couple hundred years, I'll be very surprised. But yeah, people are funny, right? They're crazy. So I'm going to close out this podcast because there really are no notes to it. I might do a bunch of these over the coming days because I'm trying to quit smoking again. I started smoking cigarettes a year ago because I thought, what the heck? But now that it looks like we're not quite there yet, and I kind of can't really smoke around the house here anyways, it just seems like a big hassle. So trying to get through that, get ready for this job starting again. Hope I don't go crazy, because I just sometimes don't feel like I can hear the stuff you hear when young people talk about their lives these days. I know a lot of people would say typically they had it harder. I know for a fact that I had it easier, a lot easier, when I was in high school. So I don't know. A lot of trauma, a lot of people with broken realities. A lot of people trying not to drown. Kids, adults, humans. And Robert D. Flecton is out there. He's got a tape recorder like he's R.J. McCready. He's gonna hide the tape because things are getting crazy. He lives near Lake City. That's in Seattle. He's getting crazier. Various Klungit gangs are arming up in Quadrant Alpha Z Bravo, he reported yesterday to Central Command. Regions near Pioneer Square are being overrun with Flumbo freaks doing Skrittle. That was a Robert D. Flecton report from a few weeks ago. Alert, alert. Alert, alert. Various humans in Belltown are tossing their children down the storm drains. This is Robert D. Flecton. I cannot believe it. The people of Belltown are tossing their babies down the storm drains. Humanity, Robert D. Flecton. He's out there telling, you know, Central Command about all the crazy shit we do. And every day, Robert D. Flecton is more amazed than the day, you know, before the day after. The point is, he's never really not shocked. You know. Robert D. Flecton. Yeah, there's one of them everywhere. There's tons of them, not tons, there's fewer. Fewer people, fewer Robert D. Flectons, but there's a few Robert D. Flectons where I live. You know, I've said this on the podcast, and it's intuition with a little bit of confirmatory evidence, not a lot, but I think a lot of middle management, deep state, intel type people retire around where I'm living right now. And so if you know anything about me, then, well, that sounds like kind of hell too, doesn't it? It does, doesn't it? But at the same time, these are probably people that are more or less burnt out on that lifestyle. So maybe it just doesn't matter. I don't know. I don't know. Who knows? Robert D. Flecton. Central Command. I'm trapped in traffic. I'm trapped on the I-90 floating bridge. Central Command. Central Command. I'm trapped on a bridge with a woman named Midge. She hands out crab at the Safeway in Squibb. So for, you know, Thursday, September the 5th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc, if you want to donate to this podcast, you can. I'm currently able to make enough money to kind of just tread water, and I'm hoping that works for another year. And these days, a year is like 10,000 dog years. So, yeah. If you want to donate, you can. But before you do, listen to the disclaimer. Take care of your food, water, shelter first. If there are things you need to do to protect yourself and your family, do those things first. If there's someone in your life that needs help, help them first before you donate to this podcast. Also note that if you're setting aside food for yourself and you have a dog or a cat or a pet, let's just say dog, if you have a dog and you're setting aside like 6 months of food because you think a famine might be coming, and guess what? Yeah, I think we've been on the verge of one for a few years now. It's just a question of when that particular bow breaks. But if you're setting aside 6 months because you're an optimist, make sure you set aside 6 months for your pet. You know? And, you know, as always, and I don't say this ironically or to be silly or to make fun of people, I mean this seriously. It's not the end of the world. Yeah, crazy times, Dan. Well, and they're probably going to get crazier. And for some people, it'll seem like it's the end of the world because their paradigm's going to stop working. And your paradigm, your model, the way you see the world, when it stops working, that can make people go crazy, 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 crazy. You know? It's not the end of the world. So since it's not the end of the world, and I don't have to, you know, necessarily recommend you read Kuhn's famous work, The Structure of Scientific Revolutions, but it's not the end of the world. Things will get crazy, but it's not the end of the world. And a lot of stuff right now still works. You can still go see a movie if you want to. There might be a movie that doesn't totally suck. You can still get food at the grocery store. You know, the great thing about living here now is I can go get food at the grocery store and cook it properly. And that's like a luxury when you think about it. And I know you think I'm insane, but it's a luxury. You can still do things like this. You can still treat your family to something nice. So before you donate to some crazy dude on the internet, no matter what this person's telling you, make sure you take care of yourself. And if you have a family or a girlfriend, a boyfriend, some type of sexual robot, whatever. The point is, since you can still do things that might make you happy, why not do them? Because nobody knows when they're going to die. And how you're going to die is not the point. It's how you live. For Thursday, September the 5th, as I said many times so far, Thursday, September the 5th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. It's almost 6:30 a.m. somewhere between Port Townsend, Port Angeles, and Squim. You guys have a great day, okay?